I'm not gonna worry about your level of concern.
Yoy and double yoy.
We talking about
Twitter.
Triple yoy.
Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that.
Quadruple yoy.
We love Steeler Nation.
We mock ourselves.
Put that ish on. Put that ish on. That's right. It's what Jin's talking about. The conversation about the Steelers social media conversation. We're here to put that ish on. I'm Kyle Kreiss. Here with me is Greg Benavent.
Hello.
And it was for a minute, it was the greatest time to be a Steelers fan. I think, I don't think I've seen this kind of excitement outside of a Super Bowl victory ever in Steelers Nation.
This is the preseason that preseason dreams are made of. That's really what happened.
But then between Saturday and today, Thursday, the real Steeler Nation took its head back out. I knew they were there. We'll get to that in the second half where, all of our glory was short-lived. But let's get to the good news first and the tweets. It was, I've never been this excited over a preseason game.
I can agree with that. Even having seen Roethlisberger's early preseason games, because there was never any inkling that he was going to get into the starting lineup. So, yeah.
So, you have to go back almost 20 years to find a preseason moment.
Even close to this, yeah.
We'll get into some of this. The tweets start with, at DVE Mike. Mike Pursuta, I think this kind of recaps everything. Trubisky, athletic as advertised. Mm-hmm. Rudolph, uneven, a great TD pass, but a drop pick, a possible pick six. Mm-hmm. Pickett oozing it factor. Mm-hmm. QB Derby trending toward how I suspect the Steelers want it to end. Mm-hmm. Number one, Trubisky. Number two, Pickett. Number three, Rudolph. Yeah. I'm almost like, it doesn't even matter 1, 2, 3. It's all there, 1, 2, 3 is all a one to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I still think the idea of Trubisky starting is the right one, just so as not to throw Pickett out there into that gauntlet immediately, especially because of the way this season goes with those first three games. That's going to be tough, and it's three games in like 2.5 weeks or something goofy. So, I'm totally fine with Trubisky starting. But, I mean, it was great to see Pickett do well for so many reasons, not the least of which is that I'm just so tired of hearing, well, he doesn't have much of a ceiling. Like, he has the high basement, but the low ceiling. And it's like, well, the ceiling looked fairly high for the second half.
Oh, yeah. It was Soprano, Tony Soprano construction crews out there building new ceilings.
Right. There was quite a skylight.
In fact, even the media itself, the last 2 weeks we've been playing you these media clips and everyone's been down and, negative. Wow. Just after one preseason game, the whole thing turns around. I don't even know if it's a QB battle because did you hear that Mitch, Mace, and Kenny were all in the recording studio to create a new song about their new love of the QB room? Have you heard this yet?
I believe I haven't.
Three of us tossing TDs, we could all be QB1. Three of us finding end zone, playing full grown, let's go win the North, the AFC North, and then a Super Bowl, we're black and gold.
1, 2, 3. It's an exciting time to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and quite honestly be a part of that organization.
1, 2, 3.
Mike Tomlin always makes the right decision. He is an excellent head coach for a reason.
1, 2, 3.
This quarterback situation on a lot of other teams, we would be throwing up red flags left and right.
No.
But the fact that Tomlin, we know, will get them there eventually.
We three kings.
And the potential for this offense, it looks dynamite.
The three amigos.
1, 2, 3.
They have a good group, and I think that now they're in a great position at quarterback. I thought when I saw Mitch play, oh, Mitch is the guy. They got it.
Mitch got the job done last night. Yep. Mitch knows how to be a starting quarterback.
Mitch, he came out, slung it, found my man George Pickens, got him involved.
1, 2, 3.
I'm sure Mitchell Trubisky will win that job at least week one, but Kenny Pickett showed that he is a guy who's ready for the challenge.
We Three Kings.
Kenny Pickett, that's exactly what Mike Tomlin is looking for out of his first round pick.
Pickett was comfortable, and the fans loved having him out there on the field.
We're going to whack his motherfucker like Three the Hard Way. Three the Hard Way. Three the Hard Way.
I like that Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett's the future. I love what I saw. He was impressive. We know this.
But, man, Kenny's ready.
The Three Amigos.
I don't want to hear the name Mason Rudolph.
We even saw when Mason Rudolph came in. And the Boo Birds came out.
1, 2, 3.
They want Kenny Pickett right now.
We Three Kings.
It's an exciting time to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and quite honestly be a part of that organization.
Let's go win the North. The AFC North. And then a Super Bowl. We're black and gold.
Wow, so that was a big 180, and I never heard Mitch's singing voice before. That was pretty good.
I mean he has just enough of that twang that definitely fits.
that UNC twang. So the media is on board. Let's see what Steeler Nation has. Let's get to the tweets. Well, let's start with the Mitch. Let's start with the Mitch lovers.
Okay.
At PGH Steelers Now. Steelers Now. Odds are in. Mitch Trubisky is now a heavy favorite to be the Steelers' Week 1 starting quarterback. Mitch was minus 250 to win. Now is minus 1,000. So you got to bet 1,000 to win 100.
Right. Oh, yeah. Again, I didn't know you could bet on this. And two, if I had, I would have put a lot of money on this early on. I mean, everyone and everything was telling you that Mitch was going to be the quarterback. This was, you know, I mean, I'm not endorsing online gambling, but this was money sitting on the sidewalk.
Well, you still had to put up a lot. I mean, at 250, it's like,
even at 250, it's right. It's but that also shows just what an overwhelming favorite Mitch has been to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, that's been, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think, you know, the mad genius Madden was the only one to say it's not really a QB battle, but now that seems to be the consensus. In fact, you know, at C Gibson 412, Mitch Trubisky is QB1, not Kenny Pickett. I hate some parts of the Steeler fan base. Keeping on with that is at Reefer Sport Reefer Madness. Mitch Trubisky progressed through multiple reads and made big throws. Kenny Pickett managed the third-team offense. Median fans trying to will this QB competition for Pickett, but Trubisky looked great. So, you know, I guess that's kind of the same way. It's not really a QB competition. We're not going to see anything in Jacksonville that's going to be like, oh, we got to get Kenny in there.
Right. Well, I mean, it's as I kind of hit me the other week, and I think I actually stumbled into being really right about something, is that I think where this entire competition has not been about who's going to start instead of Mitch. It's just how long is Mitch's leash. And I think a lot of this really is finding that way. Two, and it hit me after the game, and I don't think I'm the first person to have said this since, but man, how different is this from the Landry Jones days?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I even liked Landry, and he was a fine backup, don't get me wrong, but in the second half of those games, you left that on if you were a real fan. Like, you even then, if someone was in the room that didn't watch a lot of football, you had to explain to them why this sport is fun.
Even the week 17, you know, meaningless games against Cleveland, and yes, it was like Landry in there, and he won a couple, but it wasn't,
right, there was something like, there had to be, I think Juju returned a touchdown, a punt return or something for it to happen. And the last thing about these tweets you mentioned, I do like the way this C. Gibson 412 person just ended the tweet with, I hate some parts of the Steelers fan base. Like, that's an excellent suffix that you can just put for about any tweet. Like, he happened to be about Mitch and Kenny. You could do it about so many other things. You're certainly not locked into just the QB battle.
Yeah, I could have done it over the DJ hate. we'll talk in the second half about Devin Bush. Yeah. The Tomlin hate, believe me, anyone who tweets fire Tomlin is some of the Steeler fan base parts that I hate, along with C. Gibson 412. So, you know, Mitch is the man. Hey, we heard Cowher warn, don't do a three-person QB battle. And here we are, and Tomlin is doing it. Tomlin's doing what Hall of Fame coaches warned not to do, and, it's working.
But it is. But I don't know if it's a battle. I think Cowher went into that genuinely open-minded about, hey, we're going to find a winner. Tomlin's like, well, I'm pretty sure I've got a winner, but we'll do this.
Yeah, true. Okay, Mitch has his lovers. Mm-hmm. Of course, let's move on to Mace at Jason_Shelter, that sports guy. Mm-hmm. Some nice throws sprinkled in with some bad ones. Mason Rudolph's NFL career in a nutshell. Or you could also be talking about, I don't know, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger, anybody.
And any particular quarterback, yeah.
I mean, we got nice throws, mm-hmm. and we got some bad ones. How do you judge Mace's performance on that Week 1 preseason game?
I thought he looked better. I thought he looked fine. I mean, I guess the only way to look at it, and I wish I'd thought of this at the time, is to look at him, you know, divorced of Mitch and Pickett, and just think, okay, if this guy was the starting quarterback, could he win a game? And you think, yeah, sure. I mean, he could also lose a game, but equally so could they. I mean, it's not to harp on it, because I did like the guy. He certainly was better than passing the Landry Jones test. You know what I mean? Like, he really did move the offense. He looked like he could create things on his own.
Well, you know, that's, I guess, the point. Should we judge him on what he did, or should we judge him on what he didn't do? The point from at West Coast Guy, West Coast Guy, mm-hmm. things could have looked very bad for Rudolph last night. His stats don't tell the real story. A five-year guy shouldn't be making those decisions and throws. It's going to be highs and lows from Rudolph. You know, he had that one, it was like almost a near pick six.
Yes, absolutely.
Some of the analysts afterwards were saying, maybe Connor Hayward didn't run the full route, you know, and, mm-hmm. And then people were debating that back and forth, all these all 22 couch cons out there who mm-hmm. think they can analyze this stuff.
The irony is we would have gotten four more analysis of that known definitively had that dude returned it for a touchdown.
If he intercepts that, that might change this whole conversation.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We know exactly who did what, and we have a whole other thing about that. But since that guy didn't, I mean, it's, you know, but if you're going to be like, well, the bad thing could have happened, then you also have to admit that the very good thing happened as well, that pass to Pickens.
And I think the very bad thing that mm-hmm. happened was in the stands.
Yeah.
At Mark Madden X, with some rational thought, Mark Madden, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh should root for whoever's wearing the GD uniform. Mm-hmm. To boo his first snap was despicable.
That's right.
Now, let me, a little clear up. Did they boo his first snap, or did the boos come after the fumble?
Watching it on Fubo TV, which I have to remember to cancel my free trial of before I go home. Greg, if you're listening to this, do this before Saturday. But it sounded like it happened after the fumble. I mean, I hope that's the case. I didn't have like the sound cranked. I mean, I can, you know, I don't need to have volume max to hear Pompey Annie and Charlie Batch, but I believe it happened after the snap. But again, you shouldn't boo anything in the preseason. Even if a bad ref call goes against your team, you shouldn't boo that, because you should think like, hey, this is some adversity for them to work through. I hope they figure out how to do it now when it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, booing someone in the preseason?
That's bad.
I mean, you know,
I've trained myself to hate it.
Me too. Me too. I feel conditioned.
I didn't have to train myself to hate that. I knew that was bad.
Now, you know, Mace did have some success, but, you know, what was it, Mace's fault for the success, or Mace's credit? How about at Yin's Up, George Pickens made Mason Rudolph look like Joey Burrow. Just saying, that's hard to do. You know, was it the throw? Was that play the throw, or was that play the catch that Pickens made?
Yeah, this is a chicken and egg. I mean, you got to give them both credit for that. I mean, it's you know, no matter, that guy's coverage wasn't terrible, whoever it was, but I mean, it's, there was only Pickens was going to have a chance to make a play on that ball.
Yeah, and the two toes in the end zone.
Oh, that was crazy.
You know, that was AB Jr., little Tony Two Tap, the sequel.
Two Tap.
What was his name, Tony?
I want to say Toe Tap, but it's been a long time. Hopefully someday I'll forget.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the play wasn't just special to Mace. Mm-hmm. At Next Gen Stats named it Play of the Week. Oh, Mason boy. Rudolph and George Pickens connected on a 26-yard TD on the fade route in the back of the end zone. The pass had just a 9.9% completion probability, which would have ranked as the sixth most improbable completion of last season. That was a 1 out of 10 chance to catch that?
I don't understand any of this. I just imagine, like, the people in those vats from Minority Report. Like, they're determining exactly, like, this was, you know, what are the odds? And in, like, three different parallel dimensions, this pass only gets completed once. I don't understand any of these stats.
Yeah, we're going to need a Doctor Strange sequel just to find out how many multiverses he makes that catch in.
I never get any of this. I mean, I understand it had a low chance of completion just because I watched the play. I didn't need to bring out advanced psycho stats or whatever to determine that. Yeah, I mean, what I will say is that while I find all of those numbers to be some form of voodoo, I think it does. Even I was surprised by just how improbable this play must have been.
Yeah, yeah. Well, last thing on Mace, because, you know, as soon as after the game, the narrative changed, you know, and it hasn't changed. It's been this all off season. Is Mace going to get traded? When is Mace going to get traded? Well, at the Pony Express, Andrew Filippone, a former NFL GM, told me he thinks Mason Rudolph could be traded to the Lions by the end of the week. A former NFL GM. I mean, there's one that comes to mind. Is he talking about Kevin Colbert?
Oh, I was thinking Matt Millen. Oh. But yeah, your answer's much, much better. And again, this is one of those things that it is. We don't have any degree of context or vocal tone. I could just see, like, hey, do you think Mason could be traded to the Lions by the end of the week? Yeah. He could go to the moon. I don't know.
Now that you say Matt Millen, that makes more sense to me. Doesn't he have Detroit connections?
He has Detroit connections. He has Penn State connections all around Western PA. I mean, it's also, as I remember, and I could be wrong about this and unduly harsh, he's a man as a general manager that is usually associated with catastrophe and failure. As someone that was looking to mock this idea, he was the first person that came to mind for me.
That makes more sense, because he could be like, yeah, the Lions are looking for a QB out there, right? Mm-hmm. I've heard the Lions are looking for a QB. Well, which QBs are out there? It's Garoppolo or maybe Mace, right?
Right, and I also imagine whatever the asking price for that Mace is cheaper for you to acquire than Garoppolo.
So that makes more sense if it's Kevin Colbert who tells the fan, you know, right, might be traded by the end of the week. That means that he knows that they're making calls.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know how tight Colbert is to Filippone. Maybe they play pickleball together. I have no idea. But,
well, I think the whole connection over the fan is the Doris Dickinson.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
I think he's the real connection over there.
Okay, that could be. I mean, it's, you know, I'm sure the Lions are calling people. It'd be weird if they didn't, and the Steelers absolutely have to hear an offer. But just as you and I were talking off the air, I mean, it's, you know, it'd have to be a nice pick to be worth more than the insurance of having Mason there.
I think it'd have to be a four. Even a fifth. The fifth is that borderline.
That's where
we
can talk about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, worse than a fifth, I'm keeping him.
Right.
A fourth, then you don't even have to think if it's a fourth. But
yeah.
Hey, we spent too much time on Mace because we got to get to Quesadilla Kenny. Well, first off, he arrived. This isn't even a tweet. No one was really talking about this, but
he
arrived. You know, it was usually when they show up in the stadium, it's like suits and stuff. But I guess preseason they can show up in shorts and tees. Okay. Kenny had the T-shirt of Montana and Marino. I were they both on the hood of a car or something, just chilling?
Yeah, I was good. Is that photoshopped or was that a real picture? I was wondering about that.
I'm guessing that was a real. I
thought it might be like something before that Super Bowl they were against each other or something. That was a cool shirt to show up in, though.
But Pickens has got to be at that age where Montana and Marino are more kind of like they're closer to Paul Bunyan than real people.
Right, exactly. You know? Something he only saw on YouTube.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting that he has that kind of legacy for the game. And I know fans our age are like, what, Montana and Marino? But,
yeah.
But these younger kids only know Ben, don't you know, they don't know Montana, especially the Montana that beat us in Kansas City. I'm still sour. What? I'm still sour about 93. Was that what it was? Oh, we got to keep talking about Kenny. What about?
I was going to go into that playoff game. Yes.
Okay. At PPP Christian McLaughlin, QB Kenny Pickett produced 132.6 passer rating in his preseason debut, higher than any other rookie in the last 30 years. Mm. The Pickettsburg era is here. I mean, I'm not familiar with my rookie QB preseason stats, but
no.
Did you see Did you see a 132 passer rating out of that performance?
I mean, I'll never know. I know as much about how they calculate passer rating as I do about how they calculate the improbability rating of somebody's throw. But, I mean, this was genuinely impressive just because I would assume that, you know, the highest preseason debut for a quarterback would be like a guy that played like three series or two series or something. You know, he came out, he connected 8 passes, 2 touchdowns, and we got him out because he was a first round pick. Whereas Kenny played the second half. I mean, he was out there the whole time. That makes it all the more impressive.
At one point, I think had 10 completions in a row or something. You know, well, he didn't just pass the stat test. He also passed the eye test. At RG3, Robert Griffin III, Kenny Pickett had Pittsburgh rockin' last night. The tape shows he was decisive in his decision-making, used his legs in crucial moments on the last drive, and showed poise with the game on the line. Arm strength? How about an out route from the opposite hash for the game winner? I mean, he's not Patrick Mahomes out there yet.
No,
but.
No, and it's interesting because reading that exact tweet, I'm like, wow, this is great. And then I felt a kind of sinking in my stomach because I remember when RG3 completed like 12 passes in a row against the Steelers in a day they were wearing the Bumblebee jerseys and still lost and then never had much of a career. It unfortunately, a fine career, but not, he wasn't the guy they thought he was going to be in terms of a game-breaking talent for an extended period of time. But yeah, I mean, it's everything he said is right. I mean, that's all true about Kenny. And also, I forget if it was Matt Williamson or somebody said this because I absolutely was not going to look this up. But apparently the Seahawks didn't play all the fourth stringers. Like they left in a lot of some of their guys because I realized that only when like the guy that, you know, hit Kenny on fourth down was the same guy that hit Mason when they booed.
That's right. Even on their offensive line, the Seahawks offensive line played a lot more of their starters. You know, they were they got a lot more rebuilding than
they're
you know,
a bit away over there in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, you know when Geno Smith was looking like a star.
yes.
But all right, let's continue with the Kenny talk. How about at Pittsburgh Sport Steelers takeaways? For those discounting what Pickett did, it's not about the depth of throws or the accuracy. It's about his poise. Once again, the poise. A rookie in his first NFL game at home leads his team to win. You can't coach poise. It's something you have or doesn't have. He showed he has it. Poise. I've never seen the poise rating. It's not even on Madden. The poise rating. How do you rate Kenny's poise?
I mean, it's so rare I get to say this about tweets on this show, but I hope this is true. I hope that's a real thing. I hope this poise thing is right. I mean, it's you know, I don't mean to be somebody that's now after making fun of the improbability stats to be like, ah, you got to believe in the stats. But yeah, I mean, I hope his poise is all the way at 11. And it is this kind of intangible thing that can carry you through, I don't know, difficult Januarys in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people call it poise. We call it
The gabagool,
you know. Certainly, if you had to compare Kenny to Mace, one could argue Mace doesn't have the poise of Kenny, maybe.
Yeah, but I guess. But, I mean, as soon as you said that, I immediately thought of all of the terrible injuries I've seen Mace sustain over the years. I mean, the hit where the guy got kicked out of the Ravens game, the one against the Jets, whatever. And that's even before you get to helmet swinging in Cleveland.
Yeah, well, you can't argue the toughness or the grit, maybe. Maybe he has grit.
See, that's what I'm saying. How is grit an entirely different attribute than poise? Like,
well, we got two preseason games left to sort it out.
I mean, you can be like, you got plenty of grit, but you need to work on your poise. You'd be like, what?
Well, maybe that's what the fans should be asking these players. Well, okay, we're gonna be long. Hey, look, mm-hmm. it's season time now. We're on the game now.
Yeah.
60-minute men now. Let's do one last thing here on Kenny.
Sure.
Because you know, but people were this was like a moment in time for many fans. In fact, Ed Bouchette. Can anyone recall Ben Roethlisberger's first exhibition game appearance? I don't think I can.
Well, I could, but for one reason, only because they were playing at Ford Field, and I couldn't remember exactly what Ben did, but I did remember how it was so weird, because, like, the field had some kind of bizarre, like, rubber stuff underneath it. So, like, when players would run, it would kick up the stuff that looked black, like this, like, black and gray,
oh,
and it
no,
looked
I remember
really
that.
Weird. Like, that I remember. Ben playing in a game, I don't remember. I just remember a dude being like, wow, how deep are those cleats? That you went into, like, the Earth's crust.
So, you know, this for right now, this is going to be... This is part of Kenny's story until he gets that regular season win, I guess.
Right, and it also shows just how different things are. Didn't eventually somebody dig it up? But like Ben played like two series in the second quarter. Like, you know what I mean? Like we had to give the second half to Brian St. Pierre or something. I think I did read somebody finally looked it up, and it was that's what had happened in the game. Like
basically unremarkable.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Before we get to our break, let's touch on our favorite. Or maybe don't blame Canada. You know, one preseason game and all of a sudden hearts and minds are turning around here. At Carter Critiques, Christopher Carter, it's just a preseason game, but these concepts for Matt Canada have consistently provided the Steelers QBs with reasonably open options to move the ball. Field gets stretched, defenders are forced to make decisions and create opportunities for the offense. Was this the picket plan? Here's another one. Mark Cabali. At Mark Cabali. We haven't seen much Canada offense until Pickett came in. You read anything to that? It did seem to me like the first half was kind of just a, you know, the gun show. Who can make the throws between Mitch and Mace? Mm-hmm. And then in that second half, there was some more of that Canada offense that I felt like we were used to last regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my concern is that we're the idea of the Canada offense is synonymous with like we're handing off to a receiver or we're doing something that looks vaguely like a gadget play. I mean, I feel that's a little reductive and, you know, maybe a bit too unfair to Canada because, I mean, he's calling the plays that are, you know, that were effective in the first half that we're getting guys open. I mean, I don't know. My first thought about that kind of was like, I imagine there's always a bit of that subterfuge about like, hey, we don't want to put too much on tape so that you can't read into this. But also we need to be sure that our guys can do the plays. So here's a very vanilla stripped down version of it, which somehow includes a lot of passes to Gunnar Olszewski.
Well, you know, Canada did say at some point this week that they didn't do anything that you hadn't seen last season.
I believe it, yeah.
Because someone was like, oh, did you get to do all this new stuff? No. But we did see some rollout. You know, Ben wasn't a rollout. We saw some rollouts.
Right.
We saw a little bit of QB under center, which you didn't see a lot with Ben. Play action, I can't even remember how much play action or not.
I can't either. But I was going to say, I don't know if it counts when Mitch, like, shrugged that guy off, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, we saw some Mitch being Ben.
Mm-hmm.
We saw some Ken being Ben.
Yes.
You know, winning with the legs. That's, you know, that. And the thing is, though, with someone like Kenny, do you want to see, even with Mitch, I guess, do you want to see them take off and run, or do you want to see them complete the throws?
I mean, yeah, I want to see them complete the throws, but I also know, but I'm fine with them taking off and running. I'm not sure I'm as fine with them taking off and running in the first preseason game.
Well, here's some apologists. We got some Canada apologists.
Mm-hmm.
At Kevin Adams 26. Kevin Adams, Matt Canada sitting in the box just looking through his phone for the receipts. Maybe he really did need a mobile QB to open it up. I'm going to be saying many apologies. Or at least someone admitted. And here's another admitter.
Mm-hmm.
At Dominic Fitz 39. Manic Minka. Oh, no, this is not an apology. I'm not going to apologize for calling Matt Canada a bald-headed demon multiple times last season, just quite yet.
Okay.
So we can't give Matt Canada off the hook just on the first preseason game.
Well, a couple things. One, I'd lose a little bit of respect for the bald-headed demon person if they gave in quite so easily after one preseason game. And two, just as someone prior in this had said, like, I hate so much of a part of the Steelers fan base is an excellent suffix for your tweet. So, too, is I'm going to be saying many apologies. apologies. You can also put that at the end of many of your Steelers tweets.
Yeah,
as well.
Maybe more Steeler fans can dish out the apologies. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going super long. Coming up in the second half, we've got to talk about the Pickens hype. More and more. You know, if you thought the Pickens hype couldn't get any louder, then you didn't watch the preseason games. And then we got to talk Devin Bush because. The media has let us down once again, and a lot of fans took the bait. You're out there taking the bait, and I hate to see it. I'm going to give you a week to turn around on all this Devin Bush hate.
Many apologies.
Okay, we'll be back. Please enjoy these Behind the Steel Curtain sponsors.
Raise your brand, you got it.
Raise your brand,
you want it.
You got confident, secure.
Feeling confident? Raise your brand. Got $150 million? Raise your brand. Need AI solutions to carbon-based insurance problems? Raise your brand and reach for AcroSure.
Confidence, tried and secure. Raise your brand, AcroSure. Raise your brand, AcroSure.
Welcome back to What Jin's Talking About, brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain and our partners at AcroSure. And, I told you before, AcroSure wanted you to use the AI to select your fantasy team this year. And so I went with AcroSure and I let the AI draft my team for the Behind the Steel Curtain fantasy team. I got Kyler Murray. Oh, I got McCaffrey as my running back. I got the tight end in Baltimore.
Oh.
So thanks to AcroSure for AI solutions to carbon-based problems.
Mm. I thought they would have tried to give you like some kind of like player that doesn't exist or something, like a string of numbers or something like that. But it's
I got Kaepernick, and it was like, wait, he's even on a roster? Okay, let's. I promised the Pickett hype couldn't get any hypier, but it did. It did. Let's get to the tweets. Let's start. We're going to start at a jog and bring it up to a full rocket ship here. Let's start with at. The MMQBL, the Monday morning quarterback. I don't remember the last preseason hype train like this one. And I got to agree, I can't think of anyone. I mean, I don't know. Reggie Bush, number one overall, that had a lot of attention. But I can't think of anything like this.
The only thing I can ever think of, and it's no way close, was I was at the first preseason game Shazier played. And he made like 8 tackles in the second quarter or something, to the point where Larry Richard in the stadium said, like, it showed the inflection in his voice. He was like, tackled by Ryan Shazier. Like, he commented on it. And that's as close as I got, but that's nothing like this. This is absolutely wild.
This has gone overboard. Mm-hmm. Let's start with at PFF. PFF, they're on board. Mm-hmm. Highest graded offensive rookie from Saturday's games, George Pickens, 91.2. Mm-hmm. So out of 100, I guess that's still an A. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely an A. I mean, again, as someone that probably referred to PFF as bald headed demons last year, I totally can't get on board with this. But their high grades always are a sign that a player played well.
All right, so that's just that's moderate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about at Mark Madden X, Mark Madden, Pickens will make this town forget Juju ever existed in short order. Wow. You know, if you'd have told me that in February, I'd have said blasphemy.
Right.
But now I'm kind of.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. After seeing that catch, the one from Mason, I was sort of like, well, yeah, I mean, it's been a minute since Juju had those 99-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, I'm not missing, I'm not missing it. Sorry. I'm sorry, Cope. I'm not. I knew. I told you he was my favorite player, but I don't miss him now. Mm-hmm. Let's keep the hype. Let's ramp it up to 60. Mm-hmm. At Jason_Shelter, that sports guy. Are we sure George Pickens is a rookie? Based on this showing, he's playing like a Pro Bowl level wideout. I mean, 2 quarters in the preseason, and he went from, I think last week we were saying borderline Pro Bowler.
Right.
Now playing like a Pro Bowl level wideout.
Right. So, yeah, he's in 1 week, he's gone from like getting some votes to a guy that's like absolutely going to play on the team unless he's carried his team on his back to the Super Bowl.
How about at C. Adamansky Trib, Chris Adamansky? This was even before the touchdown catch. the road to George Pickens' Hall of Fame jacket starts with that 9-yard preseason catch. I guess it has to start somewhere. That was before the touchdown.
Well,
so
see, this one I think was a joke, but like a lot of these particular lines, like what's a joke in the first quarter isn't necessarily a joke by the second. Like the context of the joke changes over the course of just this game.
Yeah, that's a that's a joke to me. I can't find
we
it.
We should just have to say the things if you can't find. That's a joke to me. We could just say the phrases instead.
Okay. How about this?
That's a touchdown.
That's a joke to me. Should come right before that's a touchdown. Okay. Well, how about we'll talk about things that started as jokes that might be real. Mm-hmm. At Tampa Bay Trey, Trevor Sikkema. Pick one: George Pickens after one preseason game, or Calvin Johnson in his prime. Megatron in his prime, or George Pickens today?
Even as someone that was following the NFL closely, I cannot remember a single other receiver or anyone else on that team other than Megatron. I mean, you had to have three guys cover him at all times. That is a hilarious exaggeration.
Was Ebron on this team?
Ebron might have been by the end, not early on. Like,
okay, well, let's keep the hype going. At Pro Football Talk, the questions are inevitable. How did George Pickens fall to pick 52, and how did 10 receivers get taken before him? That's right, we're already getting to at Jay Moyer FB. Wow, we're already doing the Sam Bowie Michael Jordan thing. That's right, George Pickens is the new Jordan. How did 10? I kind of texted you this myself. How did 10 wideouts go before Pickens?
Well, it's interesting you say that. Just today, I was reading a thing on The Athletic where they like checked in with each of their beat writers and they were like, hey, how is your team's first round pick doing? And so I just skimmed it just to see what they're saying about the receivers. And all of them said, like, our receivers are playing great, except for the guy with the Saints. He's like, this guy's going to be rookie of the year. He's amazing. I don't even remember that guy's name. But the rest of them are like, yeah, he looks good. And I was like scrolling through it for the Pickens. And I'm like, wait, no, this is just Pickens. Pickens was the second round pick. We're not getting any of this. But other teams are high on their first round pick too. It's not like they're looking at Pickens and thinking like, what were we thinking? At least not yet.
Because I feel like I haven't heard a peep about those Ohio State wideouts, that USC wideout.
You see I should send you the article. They did talk about each of those and they weren't as big. The USC guy, they're like, he needs some work. But the one Ohio State guy, the one that went to the Saints, they were like, oh, this guy's going to be amazing. But you know, that might also be in response to the Pickens stuff. Like, we got to get this out there too.
Okay, if we're going to compare him to Calvin Johnson, if we're going to compare him to Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. how about some real comparisons? At Rebecca Bennett, if you don't know Bo's great nephew, you will. Did you know this? George Pickens, great nephew of Bo Jackson?
I had no idea. That really is something. I also don't know how to diagram to great nephew in a family tree, but I mean if you have any of that in you, I mean that's incredible. Like, I had no idea.
He's got some Bo in him. Bo knows football, George knows football. And by the way, we wondered last week who would do the AB dance. Did you see Pickens did do the AB dance after his touchdown?
I kind of couldn't believe it. I missed it in the moment, even on my big TV. But yeah, I didn't put together that was the AB dance. I am I'm a little amazed. Not quite as amazed as I am by the throw, but fairly amazed.
Yeah, well, I think you predicted that it would be George.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm right about something.
Was there any other offense? How about just one quick thing on the other offense? Mm-hmm. At Blitzburg, Gunner looking like Wes Welker for the Steelers. You know, didn't see the all-pro return man, didn't see him do one return, mm-hmm. but he was out there looking like the new Ryan Switzer.
Yeah, I mean, and we found that later. It's because those injuries we didn't know, unfortunately, that happened on Friday to Anthony Miller and Calvin Austin III. But yeah, I mean, he looked fine against, you know, a decent amount of the actual Seahawks. It's to the point where, you know, I could see that and be like, okay, if someone gets hurt in a game or something, you're not thinking, okay, they're totally out of this because Gunner's got to be out there as the fifth wideout or something.
It just, it seems, you know, and this was, we knew this was going to happen naturally, but it seems between the injuries and then what we saw from Gunner, you know, that wideout room is kind of working itself out, you know, mm-hmm. no Ant Mac now, no, you know, well, Austin is in the injury right now. So, mm-hmm. you know, it looks like Gunner has got the fast track, maybe Boykin, maybe now we'll see, you know, we'll see, but that's starting to kind of
right.
materialize as we knew it would.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, we're going so long. I don't know if we have time to talk O-line.
No.
How about just one thing? We'll do one thing on the O-line.
Okay.
At Baldy NFL, Brian Baldinger. Mm-hmm. I've got concerns about James Daniels right now. He doesn't look like the same player who came out of Iowa. It's early, but they're counting on him to solidify the interior. I've got to see it. Not just Mitch, but Mace too, and even Kenny a little bit. They were under the gun. They were under pressure.
This could be one of those things I end up regret saying months from now, but from my limited experience of following Mr. Boninger online, he doesn't seem like a hot take artist. I mean, he seems a guy to sincerely say what he means. So, I mean, that for him to have reached this conclusion is disconcerting. But it also, but again, he put in the qualifier, hey, it's early, who knows, you can have a bad game, guys can turn it around, so hopefully that's all it is, but it was not perfect.
Fans should not exceed expectations. You know, last year's pass pocket protection was, you know, shaky sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe don't expect... we're not going to go to the top five in pass protection all of a sudden.
Right, but they did spend a lot of money on it, and you should expect, you should expect an improvement, and a significant one, so that they are right to look for that.
Just, you know, be patient. This offense is still on a journey, mm-hmm. and as we know...
This is a product of your journey, and your journey's not over yet.
It's not over. It's just starting. The journey is just starting. So let's be chill on the O-line. Let's get to the defense, because this is where you know, if we went from the most optimistic Steeler Nation has ever been, then back down to level, back down to standard.
Fourth most negative.
Fourth most negative fan base on NFL Twitter, and... At K Brown 1811, Kelly Brown. It's only preseason. 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 What TF is this run defense? Now, if you listen to what Jin's talking about, you know that we said you're not going to go from the franchise's worst run defense to a top 10 in 4 months. Don't, you know, tamper your expectations on this run defense. Or am I just talking smoke?
No, I mean, you can't change everything in an offseason, and that so many of the starters weren't out there, but you can't be happy with, what was it, DJ Dallas and Travis Homer, which sounds like characters from a buddy cop movie that no one remembers from 1988, running for a wild amount of yards, it can never sit properly with any fan base.
Well, you know, it won't, and there seems to be one target for most of the angst at Minka's World, Haskins QB1. So are we ready to officially move on from Devin Bush? And we'll go to our own at Fantaskippy, Jeffrey Benedict from Behind the Steel Curtain. At no point in this game did Bush look like a man who wanted to hit someone. That's not entirely false, maybe, but are we going to, you know, what we saw from... Devin Bush was kind of what we saw last year from Devin Bush.
Right? which is why Merrill Hodge had to go out across all of your media platforms and call him out. I didn't notice Devin Bush at any point during the game, and I figured that's a bad thing because I'm watching this as a fan and I haven't seen him do anything. No one's moving on from Devin Bush, giving him three, since they're guaranteed $3 million, and Robert Spillane is apparently as good at covering receivers as we are, so so Bush is going to be out there, but it's looking like one of the worst mistakes in Steelers history so far.
Let's get the word from coach, okay? Mm-hmm. Because C. Adamansky Trib, Chris Adamansky, fascinating from Terrell Austin. Sometimes as coaches, we like to play guys who know their assignments and do their assignments, but they never make a play. The whole deal is being able to do your assignments and make a play. Mm-hmm. That's really what we're looking for in Devin. So, I mean, he's not mincing words. He's saying Devin is in all the right places.
Yeah.
He's doing all the things above the neck. Now we need all the things, like, within the heart.
Yeah, that sort of backs up the point Darion Jeffrey Benedict there made. I mean, it's one thing to be in the right place. It's something else to be in the right place and want to hit somebody. And again, it's the first preseason game. I mean, you know, and Devin is going to get essentially an endless leash to figure this out through the rest of the season. So in hopes that somehow he turns it around, a la Jason Worlds or something. But yeah, that was not encouraging after the first game. But there's still two preseason games left. Da-da-da-da-da, you know.
And a whole regular season, 17 games. You know, we can't get down on him in August and September because we're going to need him to unleash hell in December.
Right, but it's for there to be a hell to unleash in December, though. I think he's going to have to unleash it a little bit before that. But again, that's a long, long ways off.
Well, you know, what fired up all the fans was this soundbite. They caught him. Now, some say this was his first comments of the season, so maybe I get why this question was asked, but mm-hmm. I think it was a pretty stupid question. It got Steeler fan nation all over Devin's back. Let's play what he said, and let's dissect what really was being asked and what was really being said here.
Great year for you, kind of the last chance season for you, do you feel like?
Last chance for what?
Okay, it's hard to hear the question, but okay he's saying...
Break here for you.
All right, the first things you hear, this is from the fan, 97, okay. The so-called fan, the first mm-hmm. question, the first things you hear from the question are, great year for you, mm-hmm. ... is the first part of the sentence. So right. I'm guessing he's not saying, Devin, it was a great year for you. He's probably saying, Devin, it was a not so great year for you. That's mm-hmm. how he's starting the question.
Right.
Then he asks,
the last chance season for you, do you feel?
Is this a last chance season for you? Okay, now, the guy already got his option declined.
Right.
So we already know that, Steelers aren't exactly interested in him in that way. You know, so, so the question is, you know, not so great season for you last year. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like this is a last chance season? Mm-hmm. You just said to the guy who didn't get the option picked up, who struggled last year, Merrill Hodge is going on the airways declaring
cutting WWE promos on him.
Yeah. So how do you expect Devin Bush to answer this? You know, do you want him? We were saying, do you want him to do the Tim Wakefield? Do you want him to do the
Tim Duncan?
And, you know.
Which is the right answer, though. I understand not saying it, but that is the right answer. It's like, well, I just got to put my head down and keep working and believe in myself.
Right. So let's
dissect.
That's
the right thing to say, but I get not saying it.
Here's what Devin said.
Like, last chance for what?
To be here after, you know, having your option declined and, you know, that sort of thing.
Like, it's still a...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the business.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still being in the NFL, so we'll see.
Right. You know, so I think... you know, that you can't be more fair than that. You know, like, the question is, you know, do you feel like this is your last chance season? And he's like, with the Steelers? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, well, it's a business, meaning the Steelers made their business decision already,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still going to be in the NFL, so we'll see. I think that's a fairly vanilla answer. But we had people, you know, there's people on Twitter saying, I've given up on him. People on Behind the Steel Curtain are giving up on him. So... how do you interpret that?
Well, I think what the people are reacting to is that a player who's been publicly criticized by so many different parties for having a lack of heart gives an answer which is explicitly saying, my heart's not in this. I understand the point about... I try not to read anything anyone says in a media scrum because these guys, I assume half of them aren't even really paying attention, particularly Bush, who seems like an odd character just... in general, personality-wise.
A little, yeah.
I mean, there was a better way to... I mean, the best way to answer this is obviously just say, well, I got to keep working. You don't know what's going to happen. He did answer it honestly. He said, I'm going to have another chance regardless of this. I'm still going to play in the NFL. But, and honestly, that's how I might have answered this question had I been in, like, a bad mood. I mean, and I've been in a bad mood this morning for dumb reasons, and I can definitely see if somebody had approached me with a question about last year's sucked for you, how do you feel, are you still gonna have a job next year? Probably, yeah, sure, I'm going going to breakfast. But that, but again, it's somebody that has been in these kind of situations before. Again, he's not 19 years old. He's not even 21. There was a better way to handle this than what he said.
I don't know. Especially coming from the source, you know, it's the fan, or maybe he didn't. But my heart is not in answering these dumb questions. You know, that if I certainly would be my point of view of Devin Bush.
Oh, certainly. But it's also, again, they all could say things like this at any time. You know, in a way, there's a bit of selfishness about answering this question that way. I mean, it's not the best way to do this.
Steeler Nation wants him to go out there and say, you know what, even though I wasn't offered my option, I'm going to go out and prove to Steeler Nation that I'm going to be the running back or the linebacker future Hall of Honor, you know, like,
what? Yes.
Like, come be all excited after, you know, the team didn't extend me. People are saying Spillane plays better than me. Mm-hmm. I'm just out here trying to do my job, and I got these clowns from the so-called fan asking me, you know, if this is my last chance. I don't know.
I mean, that would have been, yeah, that was, no one's ever going to say that. That's not like Cam Hayward, who also would play well enough to not put himself in that position. But that's why the best answer was to literally just smack it away with, oh, I'm going to keep working hard and see what happens. That gets you out of any of this, but that he didn't see that or didn't think of it is a bit weird.
I'll give the quote Brian Flores. He was on at 93.7 The Fan. This is from Flores. He's making those unsung plays. He's in the right gap. He's helping other guys make plays, the ones that may not hit the stat sheet that people may want. He's doing a lot of the good things. I'm happy with where he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, that might just be coach speak.
I was going to say, that might be good cop.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey, if Brian Flores is the good cop, who's the bad cop? Because he's the military guy, right? Who's the bad cop? Is Darryl Austin the bad cop?
I think Osavsky might be the bad cop. Didn't he have that one quote about, like, look, I'm not going to stand at the finish line for them. That's not my job. I'm here to coach them. Like,
all but, right. You know, I want to talk about Buddy Johnson and Mark Robinson, but but the band is on the field. The band is on the field. All right, we got to get to it's the 2-minute warning. Well, I don't know, maybe it might be the 10-minute warning. Mm-hmm. Let's do a little odds and ends here. We'll start with at Scarpizio. Scarps, I don't know if it's just this app, but the amount of fans celebrating a victory in preseason game one is super weird. We've talked about it all show. This is unlike anything. Is it weird or is it just a place that, as Steeler Nation, we've never been in a situation like this?
I think it would be weird, like, if we were going nuts and they won by 10 and, like, there were a lot of field goals or something. But I mean, it's, how can you not get excited about a game where the first round draft pick quarterback gets, like, essentially a walk-off touchdown after a strip sack with, like, a minute to go? I mean, if you don't find that kind of exciting, this, you're kind of weird. I mean, I don't know this Scarpizio person. I can't imagine they watched a lot of Landry Jones in the fourth quarter of the preseason.
Well, it wasn't just fans. Mm-hmm. NFL media, Seahawks versus Steelers was NFL Network's most watched live preseason game since 2015. I mean, that beats out MLB is on right now.
It beat the Yankees and Red Sox. I saw that this morning.
So this story, it's not just, I mean, well, for one, Steeler Nation is well represented across the globe. So just Steeler fans tuning in would give it a ratings boost. But I also feel that this is a bigger story across the entire NFL. And everyone's kind of watching. They want to know how Tomlin is going to play it. They want to know, is Kenny the rookie? Is he going to be the star? They want to know. I think some people are rooting to see the Steelers fail because they're tired of it. So.
Oh, yeah. And you can't at this point totally dismiss the Pickens hype train either. I think that might have. I mean, that in and of itself wasn't enough to beat the New York Yankees and the Red Sox. But one more thing on top of it, sure.
Let's move down to at JS Cham 85, John. I'm laughing how Pomp and Batch have been dropping Heinz Field during the broadcast. You know, and it was it wasn't just them two. Who's on the sideline? Missy Matthews was dropping a Heinz Field. I saw pictures from inside the stadium, and they have the AccraSure signs, and then they still have Heinz Field signs too. So you know, not even the stadium is ready for this transition yet.
I mean, my I thought that was hilarious. My personal favorite was Pomp said Acrisure twice, and then he interviewed Art Rooney Jr. and said Heinz Field to his face.
He was right in the booth.
And that
with
was
him.
Just and like no one broke character, but I was howling laughter. Like,
I think Art, I mean, if he the checks have already cleared, Art better correct everyone.
Right, exactly. Be like Acrisure, like it just even just like gently tap their hand, like the hey, that you know.
How about? Well, at Bombile Trib, Jonathan Bombile, I wonder how Myron Cope would have pronounced Acrisure.
That was my favorite tweet of the game. I mean, I was thinking about that one all through to third quarter.
Acrisure!
Or Acrisure. Like, I mean, there's no wrong answer to this.
Yeah, and I'm just mad that we don't have Cope. We need a Cope hologram or something. I don't know.
Right, right. It seems like if we can do that for other stuff, we can do it for this.
I agree. How about at Matt Freed, PGHPG, Matt Freed from Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jim Leland takes in Steelers training camp on Tuesday in Latrobe. You know, was he there? At first I thought, oh, he must be there to give Devin Bush a talking to, a la Barry Bonds, right? It's like, you turned around Barry Bonds, now come talk to Devin Bush.
I think the picture I saw of Leland, he was like splayed out across like three different bleachers. Like, I mean, the man looked utterly relaxed, like kind of took over his own little section there.
I didn't see him with a Marlboro Red in his hand or anything. That would make Tomlin a lot cooler on the sideline if he was there smoking a heater, right? Jim Leland style. We're trying to hide it from the cameras.
Yeah, I think it's a little different era in terms of taking physical care of yourself than like packing in some big league chew. But yeah.
All right, let's move on to... Let's go to at DVE Randy. Okay. Randy Bauman. How can they let go future Hall of Famer Tuzar Skipper? It was so... this guy has more lives than the Cheshire Cat, but it seems like, once again, his time, at least with the Steelers, may be over.
Didn't he get hurt?
He got hurt.
And he recovered the fumble, right, after Robinson forced it?
When was the injury? I think he was playing pickleball because he recovered that fumble at the end, and then all of a sudden, he was dancing and all that, and then next thing you know, IR. So.
I mean, maybe he... Monday? I know that. I know they didn't have practice Sunday. Maybe they did Monday, and he got hurt. No, I have no idea. I mean,
so,
this guy...
you know, we have... So his reel includes... 2019 all-time preseason sack leader. He also has now recovered fumble. You call that a game-winning fumble recovery? I don't know.
Game-changing. At the very least.
So, you know, maybe not a Hall of Honor guy. Is there a Hall of Pre-Honor?
Maybe there's like a preseason Hall of Honor and it goes in like a little trailer around to like Latrobe, like they do with... I think they have a trailer version of the Hall of Honor. Maybe they have like a...
The trailer
RV
of
version.
Honor. Well, yeah. I think Tuzar Skipper...
Golf cart of honor. Golf cart.
Like golf cart. Well, cart Tuzar picture. Skipper is the what Jin's talking about. Golf cart of honor 2022 recipient.
Yeah, we could even call it like the Jaheen Arnold Memorial Golf Cart. If you're going way back in terms of preseason guys that never amounted to much in this regular season. But
pour some out to Tuzar. And all the guys who... Tuzar and Anthony Miller.
It is Anthony Miller. Ant Mac is fine. It's Anthony Miller's the one with the injury.
And and Carl Joseph.
Right. That one's a shame.
You know, Godspeed, Godspeed. All right, last thing here. At B. Pryor, Brooke Pryor, Steelers home run derby champ Kenny Pickett, as announced on Mike Tomlin's IG. I mean, we saw him at Cam's softball tournament with the dinger. Now he's hitting dingers again. I didn't know that the Steelers did a home run derby.
No, I didn't either. Maybe this takes the place of when they used to, instead of they used to play basketball, maybe this is what they do now in like our COVID era. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem as cool, but I mean, I remember Sidney Crosby hitting them out at PNC Park, but I wasn't surprised to hear if there was a home run derby that Pickett was the guy that won it.
You know, they're catering to his strengths, I think, right? Isn't that what Tomlin's... Play to your strengths.
Play to your strengths.
So it's like, hey, Kenny can hit dingers. Okay, today we're having a home run derby. they're not playing Jenga out there, right? All right. Well, we've gone on way too long, so it's time to get going.
Okay.
you know, I don't know. What do we have anything else to talk about today?
I thought about carrying a football around, even though I didn't fumble during the game after reading about that.
That's some movie, right, or something?
I assume. I don't know. I mean, does that kind of thing help? I mean, it's not like he went into the game thinking, I definitely should fumble today. Wait, no, not that.
Yeah, didn't they do that to Mendenhall? And we all know how his career turned
out. Right, he became a great TV writer, from what I understand. Yeah.
Who's known for fumbling. I'm sorry, he was separated from the ball.
Yes, he okay. and the ball were divorced.
All right.
That's what we've been talking about.
Thanks, Coach. You know.
Oh, wow, there you go, yes.
Follow us on Twitter if you want to keep the conversation going. I'm at Kyle Kreis. Greg, where are you at?
Twitter and Instagram at Greg Benevent. B as in boy, E-N-E, V as in Victor, E-N-T.
We all bear a little responsibility to make sure that we elevate this floor.
That's right. It's time to elevate this floor, elevate this platform. You know, we're out there building new ceilings for Kenny. Let's build new floors for Behind the Steel Curtain. Mm-hmm. We need your review. Hey, we've got a couple reviews this week. Here, this is from Catalina8989. This is what Yinz are talking about.
Aw, okay, thank you, thanks. Catalina.
We've got one from Cass Glass. Ooh. On Apple. Huge fan of all the podcasts available daily on the podcast network. My day isn't complete without some BTSC. Great variety of content, even during the off season. Shout out to the What Yinz Talking About guys. They are my favorite.
Aw, that's so sweet. That and genuinely is.
These comments helped because we made a big jump this week on the Apple charts. You know, BT, Behind the Steel Curtain, jumped 120 spots to number 58. We're the third biggest Steelers pod this week. So, you know, that's what happens when you write those reviews or when you, tweet about us. And, you know, we need the 12th man out there.
I feel like I got to start dressing better after this.
But thank you. You know, we appreciate it because it's like the standard is the standard in here, but we do like to see the analytics.
And I was going to say, the validation is the validation. We like that too.
Yeah. All right.
Man, we always going to show respect to the other men that we work alongside, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep listening to Behind the Steel Curtain.
Indeed.
There's three podcasts every day. And if you go back a couple days, on Tuesday was The Cutting Room Floor with Jeffrey Benedict. And, you know, he really broke down a lot of what we saw from that Steelers running game, Steelers running defense, or lack thereof.
Okay.
May not make you feel too excited about the season if you listen to that. But then again, he was watching Connor Hayward on that George Pickens TD catch.
Okay.
And they were kind of running side by side.
The dude is fast. He really is faster than I thought.
So check out Cutting Room Floor with Jeffrey Benedict on Behind the Steel Curtain Podcast Network. All right. Until next week, just keep listening to Coach, right?
Be their best selves. That's going to be required.
Stay in school.